from the gross matter. Separation from the gross matter. And would practice purification of the soul. Purification here means free it from the material nature. Purification of the soul so that the soul could ascend up to heaven to God, where Jesus was, and they could return back. So one of them among them would then be as Jesus on earth. Mm-hmm. Their leader that they picked to lead them, the most advanced of them in that, development, that person would become their leader. And he would be like Jesus on earth and therefore like God on earth. He would be like Jesus and like God on earth. That was a Gnostic order. They were the Darlene. They didn't do it intentionally. They thought they were following the right way. Mm-hmm. As a result of them following the Gnostic order, they formed the Catholic Church, celibacy, ordered celibacy for the leaders, and celibacy, and also abstinence for the women, nuns and fathers of the church. They formed that. It was not a new thing. In Asia, there are spiritual men who follow the same. They don't accept to have sex or wife. It ain't a new thing. Many of these things are universal. They're universal because man wants to go back to his God. That's a universal hunger in the soul of man, to get back to his God and women, to get back to their God. That's natural for our life, to want to get back to our God. And if we can't deal with this material world, the material, and God says the material world is bigger than you. You can't manage it by yourself. You need something bigger than it. And Allahu Akbar. No, I was talking. I was not responding to something. I was talking. I said Allahu Akbar. Allah is bigger than his creation. So you need something bigger to manage this creation. You ain't bigger, you're smaller. And how well we know that. Especially when bill time comes. And the wife waiting on some answers. And nowadays, the children backing her up. We don't need you. Mama, you ought to tell him to leave. Let Mama handle this, son, please. Children, let Mama handle this. Patricide. They're ready to kill off the father. And sometimes we be asking for it. Yeah, so the Gnostic order went astray. But they didn't go astray because of any bad intent in their hearts on their part. So they were forgiven just like Adam was forgiven. And they met a word from their Lord, just like Adam did. Yeah. And they repented. And they let the light be free for all people. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. See, the only thing, Adam is just a depiction of something that happened with the beginning of creation. He's a depiction of something that continues in the life of mankind. So we say, Ameen. Amen. Let's read it now together from the beginning. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
Allahu Akbar.
Well, it's, what time is that? 8:30?
8:30,
yes. So, inshallah, we will continue it duhur, after duhur. Mm-hmm. Yes. We are inviting questions and also comments. We're inviting comments also. Use the word
requital.
Requital. Yes. 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 The day of requital. I think it's the same as paying up the debt. Requital. The meaning is the same as paying up the debt. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Question on the seven seals and the 7 days in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
They give you six and one. 6 days and then one, that's separated. Is the seven seals and the opening up in Revelation a opening up of what was initially done in God's plan in Genesis, that had been concealed or sealed up, and then being reopened again?
Yes.
Ascension.
Yes.
And other thing is the ascension of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam going up on seven.
Yeah.
Are those three connected, and if they are, how?
Name the three for me again. Go over the three.
The seven in Genesis, 7 days.
Yes.
That is separated, six in
and the seven seals.
And the seven seals.
And the seven levels.
And the seven levels.
For the prophet's ascension.
Right.
Yes. They all have reference, the same reference, reference to the same thing. And that is to the potential in human creation for man life as God intends for him in society or in community. They all have reference to the same thing. And actually, the creation of the worlds in Genesis is not really the creation of the material world at all. It's the creation of the human world. And all these metaphors are used because man is really the expression of matter. Man is the highest expression of matter. So man's life is really created to express the scheme of matter, the whole scheme of matter. And therefore, there are signs in the matter, and there are signs similarly, there are signs in man. And one philosopher in Western thought, he said that in man are all the creatures of the wilderness, you know. We know that the Bible itself describes man as a cosmic figure, having clouds in his figure, or in his picture, and having stars, the sun and the moon and all those things in his picture. So he's really a pictured as a cosmic figure himself. So all of that is to say that the real story of the creation of the world is not at all the story of the creation of the material world. It's the story of the creation of the human world, beginning right with the construction of man as God intended for him to be constructed in his own human life. And he needs to grow up just like a child grows up. A child grows up from its hands and knees,
crawling on four like an animal. And it stands up and then begins to be made aware of its own existence and the direction for its own life, and it starts to evolve. The nature for that, the whole matter holding all the possibilities for that kind of development or ascension is in the matter God created. So Adam is in the first level, level one, Adam, representing just what I just told you. And in the second level, or plane, is Christ Jesus and John, representing the spirit in that matter. One representing the matter that holds the whole thing, because after all these seven evolved out of Adam. The potential was in the man that God made, the material being that he made. So the second level represents the spirit in the matter. And the spirit expresses itself in mainly two descriptions. One is positive, the other is negative. Jesus positive, John negative. Peace be upon the prophet. Jesus came to affirm. John came to denounce. But both are the same spirit. Both are the same spirit. In man's spiritual body is a need to affirm and a need to reject or denounce. That's why they're on the same plane. Not because they're equal in their contribution, but because they're equal in their nature. They're the same nature. They go to the third level now, and that's Yusuf. Yusuf. Now, after the spirit, what happens? The psyche and the darkness was upon the deep, and the spirit moved along the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Okay. Now, so here the spirit now giving assistance to something else. It's moving along the face of the waters. Yeah, I'm going to give it to you. Sometimes I hesitate, say, should I do this? Yes, I am. So here's the psyche, the human psyche. Your psyche, you know what psyche is? You know what a psychic is? They have them on TV all the time now, a bunch of women waiting for a phone call. So you know what the psyche is. Okay, it's that mystery part of yourself, of your mind, your intellect. That mystery part, the mysterious part. So here is the spirit moving along the face of the psyche, the surface of the psyche. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So Yusuf then represents the psyche. No, he's fourth. He's fourth. We're coming to him from the third plane. Yes. So, Joseph and Jesus are tied together, aren't they? and it's confusing, so don't try to straighten it out. What you do is look at it and put it back in the chest. Not in your chest, in the chest. In the old container for it. Now here is in the Bible, in the gospel, they have Jesus as the son of really Joseph. We know he's called the son of God, but he's also called the son of Joseph. Now, how is he after Joseph when in the ascension he's before Joseph? But doesn't the same book say he's a man born out of due season? See, it doesn't have to always happen in that order. That's the order that God made it, but it doesn't have to always have to happen in that order. Sometimes the one above gives help to the one below and brings the one below up. And sometimes the one below gives help to the one above, enable the one above to come alive in his plane. You see? So it can happen both ways. You go upstairs and go downstairs. I said that because Jacob saw a ladder ascending up into the heavens. And he saw angels going up and coming down. Yes. So Yusuf is on the third plane. And Yusuf, in my understanding, represents the psyche. All these are natural properties of human matter or creation. That's all they are. They're natural properties of human matter or human creation. So Yusuf represents that. And the history bears that out. Why was he loved so much by the ruler of Egypt? Because of his psychic powers. Okay, the fourth letter is Idris. And look how the language of Islam helps us. Idris, it literally means study. It's taken from the root meaning study. Lesson, and to study. Darasa means to study something. Idris means that he is associated with lessons, studies. Khalaqa fasawwa. Qaddara. Level 3. Fahada. Then he guided. So Idris represents knowledge. Knowledge for society. This is knowledge for the human society. This is no localized thing. All this is talking about what's universal. So Idris is knowledge for the society. And I see him now as representing the culture, the universal culture of mankind. The universal culture of mankind. We have our local cultures, but also we have a universal culture. That, you understand that? Is that clear? If not, you can ask me questions. Anytime when I finish, you can ask me questions. So he represents the cultures of mankind. And isn't that how man has evolved? And the fifth level, he saw Aaron. And look at the name. Listen to the name. Don't go out and just pretend that I misguided you or something like that, you know, and twist and weaken what I'm telling you. Give part of it, give it out of context. Some of you all do that because you're uncomfortable with your own self. Don't do that, please. But listen at the name Aaron. You can get out of Aaron a trip. And when you choose to use that kind of language, you're not saying that anything correct was done. You're just saying that somebody went from one place to another. He ran an errand. It could have been a bad thing. It could have been wrong. It could have been the wrong thing to do. But he made an errand. He went on an errand. Maybe he was carrying drugs. You don't know what he was doing on an errand. He just went on an errand, right? So air is in it, isn't it? Air. To make a mistake, it's in it. Air. And we know, according to the Bible, Aaron erred. Moses was up in the mountain trying to get some help from God for them. Aaron let the people influence him to make a golden calf, Bible, to go back to Shittim. And in the Quran, he responds once he's caught and he realizes what he's done. Please don't grab me by the hair of my beard. That's where my fault is. My mouth, man. I've just been chatting too much. And wasn't obeying. He was a great, great, great man with the words, you know. And he's dead. Why, he was selected to talk to Pharaoh and his musicians, you know. He had a great conversation. So it's in our fifth level where we are subject to error. That's why the prophets say, take care of fire before fire be your undoing. He gave an indirect reference to the five. But the five are talking about our five senses. Mm-hmm. But he expressed it in the needs, the great needs we have in life, the great appetites and needs we have in life, that you take care to do those things in the time that you're able to do it before a time come when you won't even be able to use those senses. Habit will take your senses out of the form, out of the mold, the nature that God wants them in. Mm-hmm. And then the very senses that was given to you to help you, they become your undoing or your trouble. Mm-hmm. Yes. And in the sixth level, there's Moses. Moses. So we have the natural body with its potential, great potential, that's expressed in this ascension from Adam, the first father. Then we have the spirit of human life, but also God has not given us this one spirit. God has given us the spirit of our own life, but God has also given us something of his spirit. So we are creature, not only with our spirit, we are something of his spirit. And to understand this in a practical and a rational way, man is created by a creator. So he bears the design on his life that the creator put on it. And that design on his life influences direction for his life. The influence for that direction in his life is the Spirit of God. As simple as that. Now, yes. So with the body, with the natural, the gross body, with this great potential, then the spirit of that body that is expressed negatively and positive, and that's the second level. And then the third level, the great potential in the soul or the psyche of that body for arriving at knowledge without the use of the five senses, without the five senses being given the credit for that achievement or that success. Not that the five senses are not used, but the five senses don't get the credit. That's intuitive knowledge. Knowledge that we get by intuition. Intuition. I'm talking of true intuition on the big scale and the universal picture. We have a lot of minor expressions of the intuitive powers. A lot of minor experience. But when you strain to establish your life in the context of the world, then what is given if you're successful in having the intuitive spark come on is direction for society in the world. You see, that's the great prophets. That's what they were given. Yes. So we have that on the third level. Then on the fourth level, because of that, that's what makes possible direction for ourselves in the world. Knowledge, culture, comes as a result of the mind benefiting from intuitive knowledge. Intuitive knowledge. That's how it comes. So even primitive cultures, if you study them, they have their psyches. And they have their leaders, their holy men, who were leaders because they had such powerful psyches. They had psychic powers, and they are the ones that were the teachers of the tribes. They taught the tribes because they got knowledge, from a mysterious experience. And they're called mystics, they're called sages, they're called by different names, magis, they're called by all these different names, meaning that they were blessed with some special powers of the mind, or the soul, you see? So this fourth level is made possible because of the third level, because of the third level. Then you reach the fourth level. And the fourth level makes possible the fifth level. It's the fourth level that established the five senses. Intuitive knowledge then gives assistance to the five senses, and the five senses know then how to digest the knowledge in matter, or how to pursue the knowledge and eat it, digest it. That is in the matter. And look at another comparison in the Holy Quran, in the revelation to us, through Muhammad the Prophet, of course, Jibreel and Muhammad the Prophet. And that is the picture, the metaphorical picture of the development of human life from dead matter, and then sperm, and then et cetera, clot, and fetus, lump, and bones. So the bones is really the fifth level. The bones. It's the fifth level. So the Prophet Aaron, he's in the fifth level representing the five senses, but that level also represents bones, where bones can form. That's the level where bones can form. And bones are symbolic of logical connections. And the Bible speaks of it. At the valley of bones, huh? The valley of dead bones. And the bones coming together. They're dead, separated. But when you put them together, they get life again. Mm-hmm. And the hip bone to the leg bone. And then, you know. We used to sing it on the streets. Didn't know where we got it from either. Well, they just sang it. Church passed it on to the streets. We'd be singing it. All those bones. That bone. Yes. So that's the fifth level. So it's also logic. It refers to logic. And culture evolved logic, didn't it? See how plain and simple it is? Culture evolved logic. Culture, pristine culture. Culture in its innocence evolved logic. And then after the bones, we're told by the metaphorical language of Quran, and he closed the bones with flesh. With flesh. So after logic, logic evolved what? Education. Classic education. Logic evolved education. You can't have education without logic. Education must form to logic. And that's the sixth level. That's Moses. Musa. And don't they call him the teacher?
Yes, sir.
The Jews call him the teacher, the great teacher. Yes, great teacher of the Jews, Moses, Musa. Peace be upon them. And the seventh level is Ibrahim, our father, another father, second father, Abraham. And ascension or growth pattern for the intellect. That's the intellect. It's showing a growth pattern for the intellect in its interaction with the material world. You can't have no growth unless you put the seed in the ground. Seed got to go in the matter. Then it can have life. So man's mind has to be impregnate the matter, the knowledge body of matter. Go in there. Then he can have growth, life and growth. You see? So anything that make us separate our life from this material world, it's the shirk. And it's designed to deny us our life. Whether intentionally or not. It's designed to deny us our life, our real life, our true life. Yes. So Abraham is called the father of the nations, or the leader of the nations, and the Christian, the father of the nations, and he is on the seventh level. So teaching, logic, teaching. Now, what does the teaching need? The teaching need to serve human life. This knowledge branches off into certain special fields and becomes special disciplines, specialized knowledge, right? And it leaves the main purpose of the knowledge, and the main purpose of the knowledge is to edify human essence, human life, essential life of human being, to give construction to it so that it can have its rewards that God intended for it in the society of human beings. That's the purpose of it. All these other things are fringe benefits. The electric fan, or the central heating and cooling in the house, all these are fringe benefits. But some will take their minds to these special fields, and they leave the main path for this development. And they punish the human life in ignorance. But finally, they all have to be reconciled with the human purpose, don't they? All of them, they have to. We see that now. We see the urbanization, what they call urbanization. What do they call it? Urban renewal. We see urban renewal. Looking back at it, we see the many mistakes that was made. It was not done with a conscious awareness of what human life is asking for. Yeah, so a big mistake was made. And I'm giving that just as a helper to help us see how civilization, the civilizations of the world have erred and have gone into sciences and this and that and that, and lost focus on what is more important, and that is to free man and structure man in his life in society so that he realize the best conditions intended for him by God through matter. You see? Yeah. So Abraham then represents the focus in knowledge, to keep knowledge whole. And it says, and keep my Sabbath whole, the seventh day, and keep my Sabbath whole. So Abraham represents the focus for keeping it whole. He's a universal thinker. He's universal senses. His heart is universal. His intellect is universal. His spirit is universal. And God says that he fulfilled in the Quran, and he fulfilled his debt to God. So therefore it is the religion of Abraham, the upright. Say that he fulfilled his debt to God. Yes, I'm not quite through. I'll be through in a minute. Yes. Okay, so on this level, what is he? He's knowledge that preserves what is universal. And in its universality, in its universal composition, it aids and helps and corrects that is local, keeps it from going astray. So he is really the universal teacher. Moses is the intellect that teaches, but teaches for a particular need and a particular people, a particular situation, not the whole world. Abraham is the teacher for the whole world. Teacher for the whole world, not for any nation. He actually left his nation. He was a national citizen under the rule of his father. He broke with it. He left his nation. And finally, God called him and said, you are going to be now a leader of the nations. Isn't that wonderful? I'm fasting. Thank you anyway, but I'm fasting. Yes. Now, Muhammad, the prophet, peace be upon him and the prophets, servants of God, he was shown by God the way up through these levels. And on each level, he greeted to show what his relation was to each one of them. He greeted father, the first man, brother, brother, and he got to Abraham, the second, father. He greeted him, father. And then he led his two fathers and all of them, Christ Jesus, in prayer. So how can Muslim scholars think that Jesus is coming back and do what Muslims have not done so that Muslims will have salvation? I'm telling you, if that's not Dali, this is Mother Doom. Now, the Prophet Muhammad leads them in prayer. And he said that a building was being constructed. And God sent his servant, each one, to make a contribution to the construction of that building. And there was only one stone left. Right? Now, you all going to look everywhere but the right place to understand that. The place to understand that is the context of Revelation. Everything that comes in Revelation, the place to understand it is in the context of Revelation, not outside of Revelation. The Bible says there was a stone that the builders rejected. Not the builders chosen by God. The builders who were following their way in the world. They sought to build a house. And they rejected the main stone. It was a cornerstone. And in old masonry in the olden days, in ancient times, you first find the angle. And from the angle, in fact, I think they still do it, don't they? You first need an angle, and from the angle you can get the other dimensions. But you first need an angle. You got to make an angle first. It sets the pattern so that everything is in balance. In balance. And in correct relationships, bear correct relationships, conform to a pattern. So it's the beginning in the pattern. You form the right angle. And it's called right angle. That's a hint right there, right angle. So you form the right angle first. And we know the corner where the black stone is, we know what it symbolizes from tradition. It symbolizes the heart of mankind. His heart, the black stone, symbolizes the heart of mankind. And we think of it as the heart of God's pure and perfect servants. So in Adam's original body, it's the heart of Adam. That's why the tradition says that it was first built by Adam. This is in tradition. Like myth. It says it's first built by Adam, then rebuilt by Abraham, and finally restored by Muhammad the Prophet. Yes. Yes. So the black stone represents the human heart. Now, we know a heart outside of the body, dead, turns black. I know it because I used to dress poetry. And you leave the chicken heart out too long, it turns black. You drop one on the floor and sawdust, you know, in the market. I used to work in the market. Drop one and they neglected it. They leave it back there too long. When you find it, it's black. Then turn black. Blood, same. It's the blood turns black. Oh, the blood turns black, too. It turns black. After so long, it turns black. Actually, black. Dark red and then black. It'll turn black. So it means the heart dead to the life of the body. So the black stone is symbolic of the heart dead to the life of the human body, to the biological life, dead to the biological life. And that's exactly what you have to do. It's given in the Bible in many, 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 many ways. Empty vessels. Empty vessels. It means minds that have rejected their own authority to think for themselves, refuse to think for themselves, and ask God to tell them how they should form their thoughts and their minds. So of the heart that is dead, that means it is no more hungering for anything of man's life or of his body, of his nature. No more hungering for anything of his body or of his nature or of his life. Hungering only for God to give it the life. So when that happens, God responds. And God gives it the life. So now it becomes a cornerstone in the building. It's the requirement for the beginning of the construction of the life. And isn't that true? The requirement is that you first give up your position, give up your thinking, become dead. And thinking is first in the heart. The heart is the seat of thoughts. You don't think until you want something. That's why the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Yes. The heart is the symbolic of the appetites for the whole life. If we're hungry for food, it bothers our heart if it can't get in. If we're hungry for clothing, it bothers our heart if it can't get in. Anything that you're hungry for, a woman, it bothers your heart if you can't get in. I know you registered that one. Yes. So the heart is the seat of desires and appetites. It's the beginning of desires and appetites. And it then activates the mind to find a way for this. Solve the problem. Show the way. Get what I want. Right? Yeah, it gives the request, the bill, to the brain. Sometimes the brain can't handle it. So the heart keeps straining for it. And the brain, without being turned on, is illuminated. Intuition. It's illuminated. So sometimes it comes directly to the brain from the heart because of the heart's activity, not because of the brain's activity. The heart is straining, wanting to have that what it needs. And the brain can't deal with it. The brain can't find answers. But the heart keeps straining. It doesn't give up. And after a while, the flinty stone sends off the spark and lights up the room. Yes. Yes. So, yes, where were we? Muhammad, the prophet, as the one who brings that stone that was left out of the building, and he puts it in its place. Now, isn't that what he did? The chiefs asked him because they trusted him to show them how they all could have the share and the honor of carrying that stone back. So they each grabbed the corner of the cloth, the stone placed in the cloth. And when they got it there, they selected him so they wouldn't have any problem. They selected him to be the one to put it in his place. So he took his hand, and that's why they kissed it so affectionately during the Hajj, the circling of the Kaaba. He took it with his hands and put it in his place. And the government, I don't know whether it was the order of the government, could have come from the ulama, but the government put a silver band around it to let us know that this is not the blackness of sin. This is the blackness of pristine nature. Nature before the world contaminated it. So this is the human nature that was Adam. This is the Adam that God made in his original state. That's what that black stone is. And then Muhammad put him back in his proper place and give him back his proper respect. God revealed to Muhammad that, no, He didn't sin with an intent. He erred. And he didn't give up that direction in his life. It finally brought him to meet a word from his God. And when he saw the word, he repented. And God accepted his repentance. Muhammad did that. So man does not sin by the nature given to him by God. He sins by the nature given to him from the errant world, the errant world. Now, Muhammad did that. And if Muhammad put Adam back in his proper place in the dignity and the construction of the house, he put me and you and all the children of Adam that God says he honored, all of them. God karamna kulli. Everyone, Bani Adam, the children of the sons of Adam. Now I can hear from you. You see why now he leads the seven in prayer? He's the last, he's the leader of mankind. The leader of the history of mankind. Yeah, who is the leader? Who's the first? Who's in the lead? In human history, the history of the development of man's intellect, his emotional nature and everything, civilization, Muhammad. He's the last one and the leader. He is the aim that all of them had, and he is the object that all of them were seeking. That is completeness, not just perfection. They all were perfect in their creation. But completeness. They were seeking completeness. It was only Muhammad, the last prophet, that brought the world to completeness. Allahu Akbar. Yes. Brother Matthew. Can you raise your voice up a little bit? My hearing is not the best. Idris, yes, sir. Writing, yes, that's right. Yes, and that's exactly right. Culture only happened because of man's ability to write. Being able to write and preserve knowledge is what made it possible for us to have culture. Culture preserved for the next generation so that it continues to grow and develop. So he represents culture, but writing is the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. He saw that it should be recorded. Mm-hmm. And you know he's not talking about individual anymore. As an individual, he represents a type that's in all people. Mm-hmm. Yes, can Imam, can you stand up and help and select them so we can see everybody's hands? I can't see them. I really want to go back to bed, but this is more important. So, what time is it? 9?
9:15.
Let's not go past 10.
Yeah.
If we can, let's go to 15 more minutes. Okay. 15 more minutes.
Yeah, I just see some of the people who had their hands up for questions. Their questions don't be longer than others. That's why I'm there. So he said, Vern.
In the prayer, when we position of sadness.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Is that being symbolic of what it calls it, an eight hope of the throne? Is that speaking to Prophet Muhammad's leadership?
Yes. Yes. And more, but yes, I say yes. Prophet Muhammad, he's the leader that God chose to guide mankind, humanity, the worlds, into light and freedom. Freedom in the classic sense. Classic sense is referring to needs of the human mind and intellect to accommodate his life in society. So, Yes, sir. 8 holds up the throne refers to Prophet Muhammad? Yes, certainly. But I said, and more. And first, let's look at Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad is the 8th one in that picture that we get of the ascension of man. He's the 8th one and the leader. He becomes the leader of that. So he's the one liberated. He's freed. He's freed from that progression. So we may say that 7 gave birth to him. 7 gave birth to the 8. With the guidance of God, we know that. Creation and guidance of God. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, represents the application of the knowledge. The application of the knowledge. He represents what has to happen to keep that Sabbath whole, or to keep that knowledge whole. And by whole is to say whole meaning keep it consistent. Consistent means one part of it does not hurt the other part. But they complement, the parts complement each other. They complement each other so that they lend support to each other without being in conflict with each other. That's what we mean by consistent. So the strain to apply the knowledge, that's why it's the Millah of Ibrahim, not right. Prophet Abraham, not right. Because he perceived the right way, he perceived the way, but he didn't have the time to apply it. His lifespan didn't permit him time to apply it. And it wouldn't happen in his lifetime either. Mankind had to evolve more into a universal or global community. That had to come. You had to perceive the universal community of man on earth and have that burden on his heart, to have nations live a good life and be at peace with each other. That had to come for the strain on the mind to make the knowledge consistent, to make all this knowledge consistent. Prophet Abraham, I'm sure he saw the big job. And now we have to bring the children together. Not the children of Abraham in Abraham's mind. I don't think he saw it that way. He probably saw it as the children of God, or the meaning the dependence of God. We have to bring all these God's dependents together so they'd be one family, you know. That's the hope of Abraham. And how it's going to come about. God bless Prophet Muhammad with the information, with the knowledge, and the vision to see how to bring it about. The knowledge has to be consistent. The Quran is consistent. God revealed it. It's consistent. And Prophet Muhammad's life is consistent. It does not have contradictions and conflicts. It's consistent. His teaching is consistent, not without contradictions and conflicts. Some may think so, but it's not. It does not have any contradictions and conflicts. And in the Quran, this is addressed when God says, "In can't you see that the creation once was one whole before it was separated, sky and earth?" And again, says, "Let your sight go out." You think there's some defects, there's some errors in God's work, God's creation? Let your sights go out and search it. Let your sights go out again. Search it a second time. And they return to you tired, worn out. You have not found a contradiction. Now, you know, science, they say they find conflicts and contradictions. But they're addressing a different subject. They're addressing a different reality. We're talking about for the human purpose in this creation. All of this serves the advancement of the human life. There is no contradiction. Everything in the creation, everything in the matter, scheme of matter, it works to advance, not to send back, not to regrade, not to regress. It works to advance the human state, the human condition. But we make the mistake of approaching it wrongly. We didn't follow the logic in the matter. If we had followed the logic in the matter, we wouldn't get the bad consequences. We would get the good consequences. And this is out of the reach of many people, what I'm saying to you, you know. But I'm sure the language, the logic is not out of your reach. You could follow the logic. So the Prophet Muhammad represents freedom from dependency on the potential in man, to liberate man. Muhammad gets revelation from God for the whole life of man, not for one level, for all the levels, for the whole capacity, for the whole potential of man. He gets the revelation. He gets guidance for that. So now man does not have to depend upon his own potential or upon his own life to advance the life. Now here comes the final revelation, complete for the whole life of man. Now he came, comes down, and he begins to applying that. He didn't apply it until he came down. Then he went to Medina after that. And that's when he began to apply it. So he comes down, and now he began to apply that knowledge that's for the whole life of man and society on this earth, humanity. He begins to apply it. That's the eighth. The application is the eighth. The completion of the knowledge is the seventh. The application of that completion, that wholeness, is the eighth. How do you apply it? His sunnah enabled him to apply it. God chose him because of his sunnah, or because of his uswa hasanah, because of his very perfect and balanced symmetry. And we know Abraham had that same, because he wouldn't be called upright if he didn't have it. He had it too. And you notice too, as some of the teachers tell us, that, well, even God, the sunnah is associated with God too. Say the sunnah of God. But for the human beings, for the creation, we have the sunnah of Abraham and the sunnah of Muhammad. And further, we have, for these two figures that they have in common, we have the ummah of Abraham and the ummah of Muhammad. So these men, like Adam, are plural figures. The single person does not just represent a single person. The single person also represents the collective body, as Adam did, the collective body of mankind, as Abraham did, the collective body of mankind, but with the intellect in focus, as it was for Adam, and in his nature, but for Abraham, in its expression, in its ability to express, in its expression. You know, Adam didn't have expression, did he? If he had expression, he wouldn't have needed Iblis to give him language. Because a certain knowledge he didn't have. And if Beast told him about it, he wanted it. And that was a knowledge that you get by reasoning and rationalizing in a positive sense, by reasoning and rationalizing, finding the rationale, finding the logic, the rational logic. That's the knowledge you get by that. So that's the exercise that is necessary for you to become educated. You won't be educated without it. So if Reese wanted to educate him, he wouldn't wait for God to educate him. If Reese said, "I'm going to educate him," so he'd be my man. So he took the innocent life that God created, and he started to educate him. Now, getting back to the eighth. So, Muhammad the Prophet, being the eighth, he's the one that established the prayer for us. God said that he established prayer for my remembrance. Akhamis Salat al-Dhikri, an established prayer for my remembrance, so that they will remember me. And how is God remembered? God is remembered when we remember his words to us. That's the best way to remember God, is by remembering his words to us. And in our prayer, we recite the Quran, the words of God to us, by way of the Jibreel, the great angel, and Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon them. Yes. So the eighth. And he gave us the sajda, didn't he? We know the sajda was done by prophets before. The Bible has Jesus doing sajda, peace be upon him. It was given by prophets, but Muhammad established it. It wasn't made an institution or an established practice until Muhammad the Prophet. And he said the position of sajda is the best position of the salat. This is according to reports. And in this position, 8 points of the human body are touching the ground. Grounded. Right? Yes. The open hands, the forehead, two, the nose, three, the two knees, five, and the toes of each foot. Toes of each foot. That's 6, 7. I missed one. Two hands. I didn't count one yet. So let's go again. The two hands, that's two. The forehead and nose, four. The two knees, six. And the 2 feet, eight. 8 points. 8 points. There's a lot of symbolism in this, you know. And the brother Imam asked me if that had significance or had reference to Muhammad as the eighth in that picture we get that shows us the ascension of human essence. And I said yes and no. Now, it refers to it because it definitely refers to it because we know that feet are fundamental, are basic in the structure. The feet, we stand upon our feet. And knees are next. But if you really look at the human structure, how it is structured, there's another important part that you don't put on the ground. And that's the waist, the hip. The backbone. We move backwards and forward. Over, we need this movement badly, right there at the base. And we know that it's said that the life germ, the beginning of life, comes from between the loins and the rib. That area in the backbone, in the back, that the backbone area, that area where we bend like that. So, yes, I don't think we can submit that to God. That's a part of ourselves that we can't commit to God, because we don't have conscious awareness of just what's happening in that area. we can't make the life, and we can't explain how it's made. That belongs to God and stays with God. Yes. But now, I said it had reference to something else because it does. In the scripture, the universal concept, or the universal concept, yes, concept is given in a square with four corners. And it's given in many ways. Four winds, four rivers. Remember this in the Bible? Four winds, four rivers. So there you have wind, water, given in fours. Four hills or mountains in the Quran. There's land. And the four points of the sun is 2 points of rising in the east, and it's 2 points of setting in the west. So all of this is addressing the universal concept of existence, of our existence, the material world and our human existence. It is saying that and to bring life to the bones, what does Ezekiel say? Let the four winds, not one. Let the four winds blow on these dry bones, and they will have life. So a spirit for universal perception. If it comes into your logic can have life. You see? It's plain language. It ain't no mystery. It's plain language, plain talk. And the answer is all in Scripture, not out here in our heads up above. It's not in the secular knowledge. It's all in Revelation. Yes. So here we have four as symbolic of what is universal. All right? And Quran also said, and he revealed four heads of cattle in pairs. Right? Okay. So you double the pairs, it becomes eight, right? That's why I said it wasn't all of it. Something else. And he revealed four heads of cattle in pairs. So we have four for human universality. Human science is different from material science. We have four for the science. We have the universality of human life and nature. We have universality for the world's knowledge and nature. They're different. Human being is on a higher plane spiritually and on a higher plane mentally than the rest of creation. So because of that, his creation is called another creation. Thumma khalaqan akhar. So he clothed the bones with flesh. And it's still an animal. But by God's will, it becomes another creation. Thumma khalaqan akhar. See? Yes. So this is a special human life, a special life. And God creates that life by giving life to the human mind or intellect. So really the beginning of mankind in Adam is not the beginning of flesh. It's the beginning of the dawning of the intellect as God intended for it to become enlightened. And we're not the only ones that know this. The higher-ups in religions of the world know this. So now you know it, if you accept it. Yeah, that's what it's all about. You know, what can we learn from just studying our flesh and blood? We can learn the life of the animal. That's all we can learn. But when we study our soul and intellect, now we learn the life of man. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, four in pairs. And he revealed four heads of cattle in pairs. Now, to understand this again, you've got to go back to Scripture. Find the Scripture of the people of the book that talked about cattle before. It was mentioned in the Quran. You have the golden cow. That's it. But you also have the references to cow or to calf, cattle, in many places of the Bible. But I'll go to the story of Samson for the meaning that we want to see here. Samson said, if you hadn't plowed my heifer, you wouldn't have got my secret, broke my secret. So here the cow stands for a body of knowledge and a class of people that's devoted to that particular body of knowledge. So he revealed eight heads of cattle in pairs. He revealed the knowledge for human edification. human sciences, and he revealed the knowledge for material edification, physics, chemistry, all these things. That's what it means. Meaning the God of creation is a God of both realities, and therefore he's the teacher for both realities. And through Muhammad we got that. And the proof is that the world came into enlightenment and into proper civilization after the advent of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the teachings of Islam from the Quran and his Sunnah. Is that not a fact? See how clear it is? Hollywood, they play with these concepts. One movie I saw, this bad guy came to Earth in the form of a flat piece of glass, square piece of glass. There was a square coming out of the heavens, down to Earth. universal perception and grasp of what is universal, you know, for him. Okay, so the Moroccan people have long been with the sciences of Islam. Moroccan people, Morocco, Africa. Their star is two squares, 8-point star, two squares, one imposed upon the other one, and positioned so that the angles are all equal. It's the 8-point star. And really, if there's any star accepted by the Islamic world, it's this star. They use a 5-point star, but in their teachings and knowledge, or in their sciences, they identify with the 8-point star. So the star of Morocco is not just the star of Morocco, it's the star of the nations of Islam, the 8-point star. And it means reconciling of the human sciences with the objective sciences, so-called objective sciences. And Prophet Muhammad made that possible, the dawning of enlightenment, the destiny of Abraham was realized, so that rational knowledge would be found to serve the needs of man and society, not just one people, but all people. That's what has happened. Now we're benefiting from the sciences, and we're benefiting from the human sciences, from both sciences. We're benefiting, and all of those students are the children of Abraham. But it took Muhammad to show them the way to the destination. Quran and Muhammad the Prophet. Yes. And when we make sajda, it's very important, Brother Imam, to know that when we make sajda, we're demonstrating that we have accepted the God Creator who created the matter that we came out of, and we are agreeing with His plan for our life in the matter that He created. That our matter, physical matter, and the matter that He created is one scheme, one matter. It's one, not different. Human in his physical makeup is the same creation as all the other creation, all the other material creation. No different in his material makeup. But in his potential as an intellect and a soul, our spirit, he's another creation. He's another creation. Mm-hmm. And we are saying that we accept to have our life reconciled with the material scheme that God made, that God intended all to serve Him, and our life has evolved out of this mother, the material world, that birthed us, and we are agreeing in our mother again, being reconciled with our mother, and by being reconciled with our mother, we have progress. Standing up again means progress. We have progress. Two sajdas. First sajda. This is nothing new for me. It's been many years I've been with this understanding, and I've shared it with some of you all. Two sajda. The first sajda is is what God says in the first picture that comes immediately to our mind when he says, and he brought out the pastures, the green pastures. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's in the immediate understanding that comes to mind that mankind has been supported by the material growth out of the earth. Not only for food, but from that growth he got food, clothing, and shelter, and also tools and instruments. Is that not a fact? Yes. So actually his whole existence, the material existence, culture and everything, was first born out of the material earth, the ground, as a growth. So we acknowledge that. Making that first sentence, that means we acknowledge that. We acknowledge that we didn't supply our needs. God supplied our needs out of our mother. He supplied our needs. And we raise up and we admit that we went astray. Allahumma ghfir lana warhamna. God forgive us and show us mercy. Because we were giving ourselves credit for all this culture and science and development. We were saying man is the benefactor. No, God, we know you the benefactor. You the creator, you the teacher, you're everything. You our Lord, you raised us up from nothing. We ask forgiveness and mercy, then we go down to the second time. With the mind straight, and forgiveness asked, we go down for the next session. And we come back up, we come up with the sciences of the universe. That's the possibility. Not that we come up with it all the time, but that's the possibility. And you go down the next time, you come up with the sciences of the universe. So you don't just eat from trees. You get the secret of trees' development and growth. You get the secrets of the stones. I mean the sciences, the pure sciences. That's the secrets that's held in there. The sciences are locked up in there like secrets. But the intellect that renders itself to God for God's purpose, God opens up his creation to that intellect. And you come up with the light. First time you got the gross body. Fruits and everything and clothing and shelter. Second time you went down and came up with the light. Praise be to Allah. Our religion is something. I'm telling you. That's why the miracle of Muhammad is not the parting of the waters. The miracle of Muhammad is the Quran itself. When he was asked what is the miracle, he said, this is my miracle. The Quran itself. Say, try to produce this. Get men and jinn together. See if you can produce the likeness of this. Can't do it. Can't do it. No. So we thank Allah that we are alive in this day and time. Right? Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah, so is that it or what? Yes. Yes, I will. In fact, I've decided that I'm going to go in the year 2001. I don't want to go in the millennium of the Christians because that might make them think that we are saying that we agree in their religion or in their knowledge, and we are not completely agreeing with them. So I decided to wait until at least another year, so it'll be 2000 it was. And I plan to make Hajj. And I've had different ones express a desire. Say, well, if you're going there, Brother Ma'am, I'd like to go there. So I'm inviting the community to go with me in the year 2001. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've already started working on the plan to, and we're pushing 2001 into 2001. We want to take at least 2001 people with you.
Good. Well, I told Brother Ralph, I said, I think it won't be 300 this time. I said, I think it'll be 1,000.
Yeah.
So it could easily be 2001. Yes, I do believe it. Yes.
We're going to get 2000. He's the one. We're going to get 2000.
Yes.
So we're already working on a plan, trying to get it real inexpensive. We're going to live on the land and everything else. And inshallah, we'll have the picture together real soon.
All right. Personally, I prefer the tents.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yes, I prefer the tents.
Yes,
mm-hmm. Not hotels.
Yes, yes,
yeah. One thing I'm asking you all to not let any person that's not from our group lead us in the steps of the Hajj. We lead ourselves in the steps of the Hajj. Lovely man. Yes. 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 See, I'm doing this way, the thumb and this finger. I like this way. B for victory. Seven up and seven down. That's seven up, isn't it? And seven down is eight, isn't it? Take that seven in Arabic. Seven up, turn it, make that go back down. Go back home with it. It's an eight in Arabic. Yes. And I think Zeus in mythology, under the Greeks, in the Greeks knowledge, he's the one that did this. They got a picture of him, Zeus statue, does this. The gods got to come down from the heaven to establish life on earth. Islam didn't disrespect any knowledge. The disciples of the prophet, students of the prophet, they studied the Greek sciences, Greek knowledge. They extracted the best. They took that was not in conflict with Islam, and they helped revive the sciences for the whole world. So you all going to follow these sheikhs and these goofy muftis and stuff and the so-called imams from around the world and lock you up in a little piss hole and you think you got the real religion and you won't listen to me. You say, oh, we ain't going to worship Imam Deputy Muhammad. You sure ain't, not while I'm living. I won't let you worship me. But you're worshiping those gurus, your father,
right,
that call themselves sheikhs and imams. You're worshiping up those silly gurus that don't know anything to do but make slaves. That's all they know, to make slaves. You become their slaves. And you think you're in heaven, eating halal and brushing your teeth with a stick. Islam won't progress for us. We have to make improvement on that stick.
Come on, brother.
Yeah, I love you. I love you. I want to get you out. I want to break you loose. I want to break you loose from the grip they got on you. Oh, they holding you in bondage.
Right.
That's why they don't like me.
Right.
So I deny them their slaves.
Right.
That's the only reason why they don't like me. And I follow Muhammad. They don't. Okay, so we had one over here.
Yeah,
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'd be pleased to do it. I'm a student of concepts with an interest in knowing what God wants for us. That's my interest. Not just know those concepts, but I want to know what does God want us to know. So I studied the Star of David. And I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you, and it's perfect. I put my life on it. God is my witness. It's perfect.
All right.
David, like Jesus Christ, peace be upon the prophets, was a spiritual force more than anything else. He was an emotional body, spiritual emotional body, more than anything else. And we can see that in the Psalms of David. We can see that. He's a very emotional person. And the spirit, for man's purpose in life is represented, for the human interest, is represented by the number 3, not 4. The society and environment is represented by 4, and the environmental potential in man, see, man is a creature, is a product of environment too, and the environmental potential in man is 4. And God has given every creature or everything its provisions in 4 measures. This is the Quran. Allah in the Quran. In 4 measures. That means what you need to establish your life in society is already inherent in you. It's inherent in you. Those 4 provisions are inherent in you. And Prophet Muhammad said of him, and he has already lived a lifetime among you. And what was that lifetime before revelation? 40 years. 40 years. So that means he was expressing consciously that potential that God created for every man. His inherent excellence for living and expressing life in society. Muhammad was already doing that consciously. That was in practice. So that 40 stands for that. That 40. 4 is the concept. 0 means you're conscious of it. It's a conscious body, not just in your potential. It's a conscious body. Yes. And 3 represents the ascension that's made possible only with God's help. You can't do that by yourself. God has to lift you up into the heavens. So it's the 3 represents ascension. So you have 4 on the ground, 4 on the earth, representing the earth, and the potential in the universal potential in you. That's really the potential in the matter itself, the earth. And then you have a movement up into the heavens, and you go down again, but not at the same point of ascension. You go down at a different point. You have to make an angle, triangle, like this, up and back down, touch the base. And if this didn't have a connection with the Jews, then why would it say that his mind was on Jerusalem? And that Qibla was a burden on him. And then God raised him up from the Qibla of Abraham, the house of Abraham, into the heavens and took him to Jerusalem. Hmm? So isn't that a triangle? See? Triangle, right? That's 3. And that's what the Jews, that's the Jewish star. It's 2 of those. Not the world. They ain't interested in the world. They ain't got 8. They don't have 2 squares. They have 2 triangles. In other words, personal, individual ascension and completeness. Mm-hmm. Just for the individual, not in society. So they don't live a life for the society. They live the life for the individual.
Yeah.
And if you listen to them, they'll tell you, it's best for you to have your matters private. That's what they'll tell you. Best for you to keep your matters private. Work in the world, but keep your own matters private. So the world is for exploits. I'm not using it a bad way. The devil uses it in a bad way. The world is for exploits. Means for you to profit from. The world is for you to profit from. So you don't work to make the whole world good. They don't believe it can happen. That, and wasn't that in their beliefs?
Yes.
And you can see now why they were so-called children of the beliefs in the Bible. Because that was their beliefs. Mankind is not worthy. The whole of mankind is not worthy of this. This is supposed to be for the few. Yes. So that triangle is for individual. Individual aspirations and fulfillment of the individual needs. But it has a power and a magic. It's a science. It's a human science. They have the power and a magic. I think it was Joshua who got victory. He